Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis C.O.G., whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Look at your neighbor, say, never settle for less. So much that God wants to do with you. So much. So much. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Last week, I started sharing with us. I talked about what it means to follow Jesus. And I said, number one, you have to deny yourself. Number two, I said, you have to take up your cross. Number three, you have to be an imitator. Now, when I was starting, I told you that it starts with a desire. Jesus Christ says, if any man desires to follow me, if anybody desires to follow me, if anyone will come after me. Then he said, if anyone desires to come after me. So it starts with a desire. In other words, you are not forced, you desire. Now it's possible you were forced to be here, but you're following Jesus, you will not be forced. Nobody can force anybody to follow. You can force somebody to a service, you can't force them to follow Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can force a camel to the river, but you would horse rather to the river, but you cannot force the horse to drink. It must be thirsty for it to drink. Are we here together? And he says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. On Sunday in the first service, I couldn't do it in the second service, I talked about the crown of righteousness. It is those who hunger and thirst for the things of God that will get that crown. Glory to God. Yes. So I laid the foundation. I told you, number one, he now says you deny yourself. Number two, he says you take up your cross. And I explained what that means. Number three, be an imitator of Christ. He says you deny yourself, take up a cross, then you follow me. To follow me means imitate me. It doesn't mean follow me from a distance. When you follow somebody from a distance, you can't really tell clearly what they are doing. But when you follow somebody closely, you can tell every bit of what they are doing. And Jesus is saying, follow me closely. Tell your neighbor, follow him closely. I know a song we used to sing those days, you know. I don't know if they still sing it, but a lot of people don't remember those kind of songs, you know. To see thee more clearly and love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. You know the song? Day by day, the Lord, for these three things I pray. To see thee more clearly, love thee more dearly, follow thee more nearly, day by day. That's what it means to follow Jesus. I want to see you clearly. I want to see you clearly. Sometimes we have veils covering our eyes from seeing Jesus. Sometimes it's the veil of a mindset that you have. Sometimes the veil of your tradition, your background, it has clouded your eyes from seeing him clearly. Because if you must see Jesus, you must see him in his word. If you must see Jesus, you must see him as he is. You will not allow anything cloud you. Jesus Christ healed a particular man one time, and the man said, I see men walking like trees. And Jesus, knowing that men don't walk like trees, he said, this one needs a second touch. Oh God, from now, even to the Oxano experience, somebody will have a second touch. I say you will have a second touch in the name of Jesus. The Bible says, and Jesus put his hand upon the man's eyes and he touched him the second time. And immediately he did that. He said he put his hands on his eyes and again he made him look up and he was restored. And he saw everyone how clearly. You will now see clearly. To love you dearly, to love Jesus dearly means that there is nothing else. You know, we say it a lot. We say those things, you know, like Jesus said, a lot of people, they always say to me, Lord, Lord, but their heart is far away from me. I feel his pain. Like, I feel Jesus' pain where he's saying, and he knows the heart of all men. I said, this one, they just follow me. I don't know what they're doing. They just call me Lord, Lord, but they're not willing to follow me. They're not willing to deny themselves. They're not willing to say no to anything that will hinder them. They want the pleasure. At the same time, they want the master. No, if you must follow the master, you will drop the pleasure. He will now show you his own pleasure in his own right hand. The pleasure you are enjoying is on the left. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. The pleasure you have been enjoying is where? Is on the left. And everything on the left is wrong. And that's why Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, cast your net on this right side. There's a right side. The Bible says in his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. The kind of pleasure that God has ordained and has reserved for the believer is something that cannot be matched. Just imagine One of the nights when we'll be laughing in the Holy Ghost, when we get drunk in the Holy Ghost, when the anointing of God will begin to flow, you begin to wonder what exactly is happening. You will laugh so much, it will look like your ribs are cracking. Then all of a sudden, the healing is there. In the Holy Ghost, we enjoy those things. We enjoy peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? And that's why there's nothing. I'm not missing anything. I always tell you that thing. I'm not missing anything in the world. There's nothing in the world. There's nothing there. There's nothing to miss. Oh, there's nothing to miss. Guys, there's nothing to miss. There's nothing to miss. I tell you again and again, there is nothing to miss. There's nothing to miss. You know why I say there's nothing to miss? You know, if I happen to be someone who's not married, I've been married for going to 9 years now, and I can tell you there's nothing, because I don't know what people, whatever it is you people think they enjoy. I stay without this for several days and even sometimes as long as, and I feel like this is what people die for. When I was young, I didn't die for it. Now I'm married, I'm still not dying for it. What are you missing? I'm not missing anything. I lived several years of my life. Pursuing, and I just continue like that, and I realize now that there's nothing I'm missing. In fact, it was a privilege and honor. He kept it from me. Glory to God. So you need to deny yourself of certain things. God helping us, I'll be showing us a lot of things in the Oxano experience. I'll be teaching bit by bit like that. We'll have powerful worship encounters, prayer sessions. And you need to come with your notes. If you don't have a journal, get one. If you've not been using your notepad on your phone, please ensure that you come with your notepad so that you can put record dates and you'll be recording encounters. You will sit in the meeting and you tell yourself, oh, at exactly 2:21, I heard this. Then years back, you will go back and you will know that truly he spoke to me. I have notes like that. I have notes. I have jotters, what do you call it now, diaries where I wrote things. And when I go back to those things, I laugh. You know why I laugh? Those things have been fulfilled. Some of the things that happened in my dream, the things that I had as a dream, that one day we will now do like this, some of those things are past tense. And I've set greater goals again. I push it forward again. I say, God, you know I desire this. Because there's no end to pursuing Jesus. There's nothing you see that will be enough. And I know that because I've watched even fathers of faith. Some people have experienced some very strange, unusual things. And to them, it's not just enough. You know why? In him, there are dimensions. There are dimensions. Sometimes, all through some people's life, they just explored one dimension in God. Whereas the Bible says there is a multifaceted dimension of God's wisdom, and including his power. Just as his wisdom has multifaceted dimensions, his power has multifaceted dimensions. And we just need to say, God, I crave for it. I crave for it. Can you say, I crave for it? I crave for more of the dimensions of your power, more of the dimensions of your wisdom. When people will look at you like Jesus and they say, what manner of man is this? Even the storms obey him. Are you here with me, church? Even the storms listen to his voice. They listen to him and they keep calm. He speaks to the wind and the wind will hold on. You come to a point where you're speaking to situations in your life and you will smile because, yes, the situation eventually heard your voice. And like a human being, it started responding. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? Glory to God. So God has called us to follow him, and he says to imitate him. So we are imitators of Jesus Christ. Imitators of Jesus Christ. And Paul said that practically. He said to Timothy, he said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what he said. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 1. Imitate me just as I imitated Christ. In other words, Paul is saying here that I live my life imitating somebody, a superior figure. And if you're going to ever learn anything from me, just go ahead because I'm learning from him. To the extent that I imitate Christ, you can imitate me. As soon as a person creates a deviation, you divert. Are you getting what I'm saying now? When men create a deviation and the mirror doesn't look like Christ again, you, by the spirit of discernment, you know this doesn't look like Christ, then you follow. So that you don't get to the point where you say, this man that is so spiritual, if this one that is following God can fall, who am I? No, don't say that. Now to him who is able to keep you. Whatever made the person fall, that's their business. They can discuss it with God. But you can say to yourself, I stand in him. In him I live, I move, and I have my being. If he said he can keep me from falling, then he can do it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Don't ever say to yourself, somebody so height just fell from that position. Because of that, I've not even gone anywhere, I'm going to fall. It doesn't work like that. Sometimes you need to understand that that's pride works. The higher you go, the more, you know, the more, how do I put it now? The more self begins to find expression. And you want to start seeing yourself instead of seeing God. So you cannot be at the level where you are and you're saying, because that person fell, that means I don't have hope to ever get up. It's a lie. You can go farther to the extent that you imitate the master. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Because that's one of the challenges of today. People say things like, I know so person. Hey, God forbid. If that kind of person can fall, who am I? If that kind of person can make mistake, who am I? No, it doesn't work like that. He resists the proud. The reason some of them fail is because they put themselves on God's resistance mode. As soon as they get to the place of pride, he begins to resist them. So sometimes they did not fall just for themselves. They fell because God saw that they have been exalted in their heart. He said, Lucifer, son of the morning, because you have exalted yourself, you have said, I will ascend before beyond the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the space of those resisted. Then God just decides to resist that person and they just slip off. You know, when you resist somebody, just imagine we're here together and somebody's standing here and I resist the person. He will fall down, is that not? So the Bible says he resists the proud. Why? Because on that lane, proud people cannot stay there. You have to be humble. The higher you move, the more humble. You say, God, but I can't do without you. My life makes no sense without you. You are my hope, my life, and my strength. If I ever am anything, it is in you. All that I am, I owe to you. All the glory, the greatness, the power, the wisdom, the strength that I will ever have in my life, everything I hand over to you. The more you say that, the more he lifts you up. At the point where you begin to see yourself, you begin to hear yourself, you begin to feel like, I am very strong. All those who are falling for the temptation, they are small. Me, I'm strong. No. No matter how. He said, take heed. He that thinks he stands, lest he does what? Fall. So those who are standing, you need to be more humble. The more humble you are, the more strengthened you become. Am I making sense here tonight? To follow Jesus requires that. The Bible says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. The Bible says he humbled himself even to the death of the cross. It wasn't fitting for Jesus, let me put that word like that, to die on the cross. How would he die the death of a criminal? The Son of the Living God. At that time, he already had influential people in as his disciples. One of the servants of Herod, Chusa, was already part of the women following him. Joseph of Arimathea had started attending meeting already. Some of the captains of the Roman army, some of them already started identifying with him secretly. They loved him already. So he would have just told them, he said, you know what? Don't let all these guys leave you. Anything you guys can do to keep me. But he said, no, I will go the way that God has ordained for me. For lo, I come in the volume of the books to do your will, O God. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? He chose the will of God when he had all the privilege and had everything to choose this other side. He said, no. Nevertheless, not my will, but let your will be done. And in the will of God for Jesus, he had to be beaten, he had to be battered, he had to be wounded, he had to be bruised. And he said, yes. The Bible says Jesus learned obedience by the things that he did. What? He suffered for my sake. He learned obedience. He learned obedience by the things that he had to suffer. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? Are we here together? Yes. So you must understand that. You must understand that. Not obeying Jesus, you know, is an insult to his lordship. You can't say somebody is your Lord and you don't obey the person. No, it doesn't make any sense. Why do you call on me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Luke chapter 6, 46 to 49. Jesus was asking, why do you call on me Lord, Lord? Why do you call on me Lord, Lord? Like, I don't like that. Don't do that. That doesn't make sense. Looking unto Jesus. No, look. Go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 6, 46. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Luke chapter 6, he says, but why do you call on me, Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Go ahead now. Go ahead. He says, whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. And who is he like? Let's see now. He said, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. The man dug how? He dug deep. Whoever listens to this saying of mine is digging deep. And in Oxano, we're going to be digging very deep. The wells of our prophetic destiny. The wells of everything that God has said concerning our life. The wells of our position in Christ. We will dig so deep. Kai. You know, you don't get the most precious things on the face of the earth. You don't get them on the surface of the earth. Many of the times they are right there deep. And whenever you pick them first for the first time, they are looking raw, black. You never can tell that that stone you just picked is actually going to turn to gold. You never can tell that that metal you picked that has a lot of dross is going to turn to silver. And that's how it doesn't matter what you look like right now. But when we begin to press in, there is so much inside of you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can you say to yourself, there's so much inside of me. God is bringing me to his refinery. Hey, this Oxano refinery, you will come out refined. When you see crude oil in its raw state, you will not use it for anything. Nothing. It's not useful for anything. The whole thing that he has is just potential. What he has, the ability to become. That's what crude oil is. Crude oil in that state has ability to become. But at that point, it doesn't make any sense. But when it goes through the refinery, somebody will go through refinery this period. When you come out, he said it will sit like a refiner's fire. And it will take you, it will sit you down and purge you. He will purge you. Kai. Whatever doesn't look like you, that is reflecting itself in me. Whatever doesn't show your grace, that is magnifying flesh in me. Take it away. Take it away. Take it away.
Take it away.
Now listen to me. Jesus gave us a lot of hard sayings. But my to wrap up tonight, why should I follow Jesus? That's the last part of what I'm going to be teaching. Why should I follow Jesus? Number one, from my own understanding of the reason why you should follow Jesus, I want to give you reasons, and I'll show you from scriptures. You know, three of them I'll show you from scriptures. You know, I just mentioned the other ones. Number one, I say it is a privilege to follow the Creator and the Savior. He's both Creator and Savior. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. How many of you will feel very privileged if it doesn't matter how bad you have been speaking, you know, against the government. You may not like the government, but if you are called to hold office where you consider the poverty of your foundation, something will begin to happen. Am I making sense? You will forget all their sins. Instantly, you will forgive them and say, no, they've not done anything. What have they done? You know, your philosophy will just change. You know how you start sounding? You don't know what leadership is. If you know what leadership is, you know that it's not easy. You now remember when you were a class captain and somebody was talking to you anyhow. All of a sudden, your philosophy will change. You know why? In the face of a privilege to do something. And that's a human being. That's just human. Human governments, they are frail. Just look away from our own country. Everywhere around the world, they are frail. They make promises that they cannot keep. They say a lot of things everywhere around the world. Everywhere. A few of them are a little bit, of course, some level of it, but their misbehavior is at different levels. Amen? Yeah. But somehow, if you are called, whatever the case, and they just call you, that you know what, you're going to be a special assistant to, a special, or PA to the PA of the PA of the PA. As far as there is P and A, forget the Q, let's just Q. That's how some of you will feel. You feel so privileged. You feel so honored. Or they just call you tomorrow morning and say, wow, maybe Bill Gates or Elon Musk is looking for somebody that will be a virtual assistant. Before they give you the job, you would have already vowed. You say, may I be a virtual assistant all my life if this is the kind of virtual. You would have said many things just because it's a privilege to serve in that capacity. It's a privilege to work with that kind of person. Are we here together? And there are many other people, especially when they are influential, when they are financially, you know, empowered, you want to identify, you want to associate with them. How much more the Creator of the universe, the one that can sit in the throne, right from his throne in heaven, and he will decide who will stay the next day and who will go the next day. Is it not a privilege and honor? The Bible says to be absent in body is to be present with him. Is it not a privilege and honor? When people close their eyes in death and they are not born again, they don't need to say themselves. When you ask them, do you know where you're going? They say, I'm not sure. You know, we know where you're going. The Bible already said it. And those who are born again, when you're born again, you have understanding that because I have accepted Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior and I am following him, you know that I cannot follow him here and not follow him there. Whoever you followed here is who you will meet there. It's a simple thing. There's no fear. There's nothing to be scared. If you follow anybody here, that's who you will meet on the other side. The journey just continues. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It's just a continuation. So just think, just picture yourself and Jesus Christ. Just imagine Jesus Christ coming into this meeting tonight. And just from that place, he begins to step in. And he just walks, you know, like that, majestically. And he looks at you by the side. And he says, follow me. Will you sit down? I don't know. If you cannot stand, it's because you passed out. Are you getting what I'm saying here? No, if you don't stand, it's because you passed out. Because probably you couldn't stand the glory. You couldn't just stand the presence. You couldn't just look at his face and not just pass out. Now, he's saying to us today that when we make up our minds, despite the fact that he's at the right hand of the Father, if we make up our minds here on earth to follow him by faith, that in reality, just as if he is here with us, when we follow him by faith, it's exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing. He told his disciples, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, lo, I am with you always. I am with you always. Am I communicating, church? He says, I am with you always. If Jesus says he's with me, he doesn't have to be here physically. The Holy Ghost inside of me is enough witness. Are you getting what I'm saying here tonight? That the Holy Ghost lives inside of me. He is with me already. He's not just with me. He is in me. At a point, Jesus was just with the disciples and they were going everywhere. When he was going to leave, he told them, I will be both with you and in you. And that's what we enjoy today. And many people still feel like, I don't think I can do this. No. When you walked away from him and walked to wherever it is you have decided to go, he's watching you. He's seeing you. He's observing you. You're like, wow, seriously? You chose this thing over me? No, I don't understand. So you need to see it that way. As soon as you start seeing it that way, it will change. The consciousness of Christ's presence. The consciousness of the fact that he's here with us. He's not far from us. Are you getting what I'm saying? He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back. The coming back of Jesus is in two forms. Number one, on the day of Pentecost, he came as the Holy Ghost. And the last day when the trumpet sound, he will come as the Son of Man. Coming with cloud of glory. So he's already here. The first coming has happened. And he had left and he came back again in form of a spirit. And he will come back again. Many people did not identify with him in his first appearance when he came in the flesh. And some of those people who did not identify with him in the flesh, when he came as the Holy Ghost in the spirit, some people connected with him. That's why he said, Jesus was the one that said that. He said, blessed are ye that have not seen, but you believe. Guy, he was speaking futuristically to us, those of us that did not see him, but we believe him. He said, we are blessed. Can you say to yourself, I am blessed? Don't wish to be in the generation of Peter and Paul, James and all of them, and say, I wish I was with Jesus physically. And there's no need. There's nothing worth wishing about something in the past when the person himself says, you are blessed to be in this place. This is the best time to be born. This is the best time to be on the face of planet Earth. It doesn't matter whatever anybody or anything thinks about. I am privileged to be alive now. I love you that I'm alive now. I would have not been in a better dispensation than now. It is my time. Oh, you didn't say it's your own time. Oh, you're scared. You're looking at your bank account. You're looking at your marriage. You're looking at your children, your family. It's my time. I'm born to reign. I'm born to win. And I'm following Jesus now. This is the best time to follow Jesus. No other best time in the future. No other best time in the past. It is now. Because faith is now. And the just shall live by what? By faith. I follow him now. I'm not telling anybody tomorrow when I come. No, I'm following him now. I'm following him now. I follow him in the present. Are you getting what I'm saying? My present reality is following him. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what anybody says, what it looks like. I follow him now. Glory to God. Glory to God. The next reason why you follow Jesus is because he has given you every born again. He gives eternal life. John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Why must I follow Jesus? He's the giver of eternal life. He
Eternal life is everything. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Eternal life is everything. Eternal life is everything. Jesus has restored man, and now we can have the life of God in us. The Zoe, the life of God. It's not, I used to think that it is just God's kind of life. But I realize that it is God's life. Not just kind, it's God's life. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here now? Zoe is the life of God. And Zoe is inside of me. I carry him inside of me. I have eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that they might know him. This is eternal life, that they might know him. The knowledge of Jesus is eternal life. And that's why I follow him. Because every day of my life, I get to know him better. I am growing in him. I am growing in him. Eternal life is not just in the length. It is in the quality. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Eternal life is both quality and quantity in one full package. I will have life endless, and I have life full, life without blemish, life incorruptible. That's why I follow Jesus. So when anybody tries to ask, why are you following Jesus? I know I'm following him. Eternal life, because whoever does not believe him is condemned already. Go look at John 3:17. Go to John 3:16. Look at it there now. John 3:17. He said, but God did not send his word into the world, his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned. But they that do not believe in him, they are condemned already. Hey, not that they will be condemned when the trumpet of God sounds and they get to hell. Now they are condemned. But there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Oh, are you hearing what I'm saying? Eternal life is at work in me. There's no condemnation in me. Can you say I'm not condemned? Oh, can you say loud, I'm not condemned? Because I have Jesus. I have eternal life. That's why I follow him. No matter what it costs. No matter what it looks like. I follow him. Because this is eternal life, that they might know him, the one only begotten Son of the Father. We beheld of his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? These are scriptures that I sit alone, and each time I just think about these things, I feel so high. I feel like I smoke something. I feel like I smoke something. I told you, people smoke things, and when they smoke, they start seeing things. When I start picturing the scriptures, I also start seeing things. I've never smoked something physically, but I smoke this one. And the way they feel when they smoke, I feel the same way. When somebody gets drunk, the way they behave, when I get drunk in the Holy Ghost, I feel the same way. I see things that people are not seeing. I say it and they say, how do you know? Sometimes I see and I'm drunk in the Holy Ghost and I'm picking signals. I can give words of knowledge. People I've never been with. I can feature things and say it. It's sight. That's what a madman, that's what a drunk man sees. He sees what others are not seeing. That's what happens when we get drunk in the Holy Ghost. That's what happens when we're in that atmosphere, when we're in that place, when we have soaked ourselves in him. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Don't allow anybody. There's nothing else in the world that will ever satisfy. Nothing. You remember the woman at the well? She's been with the first husband. She wasn't satisfied. That one left her. She didn't leave them. They left her. I don't know whether she left them or they left her. Or they left them. So whatever I'm leaving, but she owns the house. So the first one came and stayed a while. They left. And I guess she will be the one says, Oga, carry your bag. I can't find satisfaction here. What's up, my babe? Then another one comes around and stays for a while. And the lady's like, I thought this one would even make sense. At the end of the day, it doesn't make sense. The fifth one came and stayed with the woman and was now in her house. So she's driven the first one, the second one, the third one, the fourth one. Now she was with what? The fifth one. And five happens to be number of grace. And she had encountered this grace already. She was just at that point where she was supposed to give up everything. So she carried her bucket and now she went at that moment in the afternoon because it was the only time people would not see her. A lot of people already knew her as a prostitute. Oh, you know that kind of person in the community where you say, which one is she bringing this year? Hey, the one last year. This one stayed 3 years. I can imagine in that 5 years, maybe they have stayed about 10 years if they stayed up to two years. I don't even know. But she kept testing everything. Somebody listen to me. Oh, he will quench your test. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying? Jesus will quench your thirst. And she got to that place that day at the well. And while she was sitting at the well, she wanted to draw water. She met a man. And guess what? Jesus sent his disciples away. He knew he would meet somebody. And he knew that these guys would distract the conversation. So imagine sending, at least you would have said, one person, just stay around me. Maybe just form bodyguards so that in case anybody comes around, you know, they won't harass me. Because every time they went for crusades, we see that the Bible says Peter and the others would drive people away. So one person should have stayed there. But intentionally said, all of you, just the word, go. I'm about to have an eternal life conversation. That's what happens when you are trying to talk to that your friend. You are trying to talk to somebody and somebody is coming there to distract them. You need to be stand in the spirit and speak words and say, Holy Ghost, let this distraction get out of here. Because I must win this soul now. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Many times we try to win souls. Just because somebody just comes, talk rubbish. And the person will just carry it back and say, we'll see later. Hey, no, not me. Not me. I must finish my assignment. And they went to get food for Jesus. And by the time they went to get the food, Jesus stayed with that woman right at the well. And he said, give me water to drink. Give me water to drink. And the woman looked at him, knowing that this guy happens to be a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. Samaritans and Jews have no business. So that even if I were to choose a man, I won't choose you. You don't understand. If I were to choose a man, you are looking at some guy. I see it. Yeah, fine face. Nice looking. I see your beds. I see your yeah. But even if I was choose man, everybody would stone me because you are a Samaritan. You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. So she was trying to just pack her face. I don't see the dorm somehow, but make her just bone. I say it'll be fine boy. You know when you see a fine boy and you act like you're lying? You know what I'm saying? You know, so sometimes you just cut your eye, you move again, you focus, then you start forming good girl. Start forming good girl. Your English will just change all of a sudden. Excuse me, please help me bring that thing there. Yeah, yeah. Oh God, just because of what you saw. I can imagine that woman giving Jesus those kind of vibes. And Jesus just sat down there and was just looking at the woman. And he said, woman, give me water to drink. And by the time she said, you don't even have a fetcher, so it's not possible to get water. So I'm not going to be able to give you water. If you know the gift of God, I like the way Jesus said it. Hey, look at what he said. If you knew the gift of God, so he left the conversation of water, then he brought the gift of God. He said, he didn't say if you know this water, if you know, no. He said, if you know the gift of God, eternal life is the gift of God. He says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you know the gift of God, in other words, here that I am, I came to this world as God's gift to men. And you have been dabbling with many men. Now you have met a man. In fact, this one is a man. Man, I'm doing good. Glory to God. Yes, this is the one where you say yeah, it's yeah and amen. And he's right there standing in front of her. And the woman was just looking like this. And he was just flowing. And he said, if you know this person that is talking to you, that is saying, give me water to drink, you would have asked him. In other words, I have more. I have everything. I'm not lacking. I'm not asking you for water because I am lacking. I am asking you because I need your attention. Because there is something I'm about to give to you. Are you getting what I'm saying here? And he said, he would have given you living what? Water. And that means all the water she's been getting from the other men, dead waters. That's why she was never satisfied. Dead waters. Every time they came through her life, they just give her dead water. She gets out. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. And the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? The living water doesn't come from the well. It doesn't come from this Joseph's well. It comes from the well of life. Are you getting what I'm saying? So that when you take the living water and you drink, out of your own belly, living water will be replicated. Are you getting what I'm saying, church? I'm already on Oxano hype. You know when it's getting close. Oh God, I stay hours studying the word of God this period. I stay hours. I can stay 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. I get so charged in it so that it has to ooze out of me. Glory to God. The word of God, let it dwell in you richly. When the word of God dwells in you richly, every time is fresh. Am I making sense here? He just sat there and the woman was just waiting. Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and their livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. In other words, this one, when you drink, you will come back again. God, the woman must have been asking herself, what kind of person is this? Everything I'm saying, he has answers. How come you just have answer to everything? But whoever drinks of the water that I should give to him will never thirst. What boldness and audacity to speak like that. But the woman that, he said, but the water that I give to him will become in him. Can you see it now? A fountain of water springing up into what? everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, Omi ye. This Omi is the Omi I want. I need this kind of, I've been drinking all the Omis, but if I take this one. So she says, sir, I don't understand, because I am with the fetcher. You are not with the fetcher. And you know what she was trying to do? I have the fetcher here. You don't even have a fetcher. And Jesus kept talking about giving water, giving water. He said, okay, we'll see. Sir, give me the water. In other words, let's see what you can draw with. She didn't know that every conversation was water flowing into her. Every word that came out of his mouth was the water going into her. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Because Jesus is the water of life. Are we here together? Every single time Jesus opened his mouth and he spoke, and she opened her mouth to respond, she took a drop of the water. Every time she responded, she would take. And the more she stays with him, the more the presence of Jesus will continue to fill her up. All of a sudden, if you have conversation with that man for 30 minutes, something will happen to you. Nobody ever had conversation with Jesus for a long time and remained the same. Oh no, it's a river that flows. And when you stay with him long, he will flood you. You just realize that you are overwhelmed. At that point, the woman was already getting to the point of saturation. So she said, sir, give me this water. Say that I may not thirst again, nor come here again to draw. Jesus said to her, go. Give me water, go. In other words, the water is already inside. You don't know what's about to happen to you. The conversation brought the water inside of you already. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Jesus said, go, call your husband, and then come here. The woman answered and said, let's talk about the serious business. Let's talk about the problem of my life. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said to her, well, you have said well. I have no husband. Because the one you're living with now. Can you see the conversation? He said, for you have 5 husbands. And the one, it's not like they were just boyfriends. Oh, they lived and they separated. Only one woman, 4 divorce. The 5th one at the verge of papa. Only you can satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul.
Satisfy my soul.
Only you can
satisfy me. Only you can satisfy my soul.
And the one whom you have now is not your husband. In other words, you have married 4, so that it's possible that you have even married the real husband and left that husband and married another one. Trial and error destiny. Aya, one of the prayer points as God prepared my heart for Oxano to write down is that in 2025, no trial and error. I will hit the mark. I will hit accuracy. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Accurate, I will hit it. People will say, how did you hit it just once? Yes, just once. For Jesus Christ came and he hit it once and for all. He's seated at the throne of God. I can hit it once. Oh, you don't understand what I'm talking about, church. Are you guys getting what I'm saying here? I just want to try and see. I want to try my luck. We don't try luck. We're empowered by grace. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Yes, the believer doesn't live in a luck realm. You live in a realm where we are engraced. For you have 5 husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you really spoke truly. Yes. The woman said to him, sir. Prostitutes now have sense of discernment. I don't understand. She came to the company of prophets and she started prophesying. Kai. So Jesus shared Wi-Fi to her. Oh my God, Pastor Ben. Wi-Fi, just in the midst. You know, when Saul came into the midst of prophets, he started prophesying. This one was now in the midst of God himself, the prophet. Immediately, she picked a signal. And she said, I perceive. I just imagine the woman taking, like, somebody, you know, talking to Jesus back, like, I have a knowing. And Jesus like, I want to know. You're Sorojago. Sorojago now. And she said, you're a prophet. Ah, you got it. Eh? Emiti Wole, it has entered. You can't share from his network and get a slow download. It will be a fast download. Flesh and blood did not reveal that thing to that woman. No, flesh and blood did not reveal. Because he said, I perceive that you are a prophet. I perceive it. This conversation is not ordinary. This discussion is leading somewhere. I perceive it. and the water that she already carried. She didn't know that as they were having that conversation, he was loading her up with more water. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet." Verse 20 now, "Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me. The hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. For the Father, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in what? Spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I perceive that when Jesus was having the conversation, you know, then she entered another realm of prophecy. The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ." Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, when she said that, she now said, "When he comes, he will." I perceive again that there is something about you. Ah, listen to me, child of God. In this season of your life, people will start perceiving what you carry on the inside. They will perceive the glory at work in your life. They will perceive the power breaking forth inside of you. They will perceive the new grace and anointing you are receiving. In the name of Jesus. Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you, I am he." In other words, woman, you just said it. I am he. I am he. I am here. And at this point, the disciples came back. Discussion to Barry. She had heard everything she needed to hear. And they marveled and they said, Peter, Thomas, boss, they talk to a woman. I never see this guy's name before. Hey, this is serious. He said he talked with a woman. In other words, it shows you the kind of person Jesus is. That every time he had conversation with ladies, he probably allowed the disciples to be around so that they won't have wrong perception of him. So the time they saw him discussing with the woman alone, they were like, "Wow, seriously? Bros get toasting skills? Everything they try to do here. Are you getting what I'm saying, church?" They came there and they saw that. He said, he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek? Or why are you talking with her?" Because the normal thing is that he had told them, "Anytime I'm discussing with her, just say, why are you discussing with us? Just clear the way." Now, that teaches you something. Jesus created an environment conducive for his success. Avoided everything that could bring him down. Oh God, I wish you're getting these things. I see too many things in just one verse. I can preach it for like 6 hours. Just looking at that thing alone is a lot. The woman then left her pot. The woman that came to fetch water. The one with the fetcher has dropped the fetcher. So that if Jesus wanted to drink physical water, now he would just use her pot and get the water. He had given her something, and she had traded what she had. It's like saying that I cherish the old rocket cross, and when I get there, I will drop it and take a trophy. She had taken Jesus' trophy. Not be that trophy. Now this trophy. Some guys on this street understand. Are you getting what I'm saying? So Jesus gave her his own and went away. The Bible says, went away into the city and said to men. In other words, she said to men. He didn't say to everybody. Men. Oh my God. Come see a man. Men. Come see a man. Men. Come see a man. That's how you start pointing men to Jesus. Child of God, I say you'll be pointing people to Jesus. The boldness will come, you will point men to Jesus. The confidence will come, you point men to Jesus. He's not going to touch your life, change your life, advance your life, beautify your life, decorate your destiny. You will start pointing men to Jesus. In the name of Jesus, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. The Bible says that woman went out and she started calling everybody, come see. That's where you see people get to put on their flyers, come and see. Come and see. Somebody will have a come and see encounter. The kind of encounter that will make it so much. You know, when you see some things, you can't hide it. She will not be able to hide what you will experience. She will not be able to hide these things right now. In the name of Jesus, some of you, God will not have to wait until Oxano from this night, this week, this season. He will start prompting your heart to the secret place of prayer so that you can start building. He will start preparing your destiny so that you can position yourself rightly. I prophesy to everyone, spiritual connection, spiritual connectivity, spiritual depth, spiritual longing, spiritual hunger, spiritual desire in this season. Come upon your life in the name of Jesus.
Hey, if you miss Oxano, then go say no to you. No miss. Am I communicating? Kai, oh God, so much to say. Finally, as I wrap up, let the communion be ready, please. Let's get the communion out so that we can take it. The reason why I follow Jesus is because he's coming back again. Revelation 22 verse 12. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. He's coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. He went away and promised that he's coming back again. Bring the communion, everybody rise up now. Coming back again. My Lord is coming back again. Oh glory, hallelujah. He's coming back again. I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad that I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I am glad.
I belong to Jesus.
Yeah,
I belong to my Lord. Yeah. I'm so glad that I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
Let me hear you say,
I am glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad that I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
One more time.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I belong to Jesus. I belong to my Lord.
Can you begin to bless the name of the Lord and say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I have found true love in you. I have found true love in you. All the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And oh, it chases me down, finds till I'm found, leaves the 99.
I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it, still you gave yourself away.
God.
Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Shadow, you won't light up. Mountains, you won't light up. Coming out to me.
Sakata lava rava de
na. No,
you
Jesus.
We are coming face to face to the communion of the blood of Jesus and his body broken for us. We're following a man that paid the price for us. We're following the one that died for our sins. We're following the one that cleansed us from all unrighteousness. We are following the one who has been able to keep us from falling. So that as you are taking this communion right now, everything that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. By his stripes we are healed. So healing can be delivered now. Strength can be delivered now. Spiritual empowerment can be delivered now. You want to look upon him, the one that was pierced for your sake. You want to look upon him tonight and picture him, the one that was battered, the one that was wounded, the one that was messed up, abused, insulted for your sake. You are here tonight. You want to say, Pastor Mavis, I've not accepted Jesus into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Just before you come before the communion table, you need to make a connection with Jesus. You need to make a connection with Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. That's the most important decision anyone can make. You want to make that decision tonight, a decision to accept Jesus into your heart as your Lord and your personal Savior. Like my personal Savior. I know he's the Savior of the whole world, but this thing is personal to me. It's my personal Savior. Do you want to make that decision? Can you raise your hand wherever you are? If you're online and you're taking your communion with us tonight, I believe you've gotten your bread and you've gotten your wine, and we're doing this together tonight. Sicknesses, diseases, all kinds of phobias will disappear. Everything that is not of God will fade. And Jesus alone will be seen. If you want to make that decision, please, can you raise your hand confidently? I'm going to pray with you tonight. You need to have relationship with him to take his blood. You need to have relationship with him to eat of his flesh. You need to have that relationship with him. Raise your hand confidently wherever you are. I'm going to pray with you right now. And you say these words after me. Just say, Lord Jesus, today I come to you just the way I am. I believe in my heart that you died for me. I confess today, Jesus, that you are my Lord and my Savior. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. I receive forgiveness of sin. I receive eternal life into my spirit. And I declare right now, I am born again. I am saved and I am sanctified in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. If you just said that prayer right now, it means that you have made a personal connection with Jesus and eternal life lives inside of you. You will need to grow in the knowledge of him. The Bible says this is eternal life, that they might know him. So the eternal life we have received, we can also grow in the knowledge of him to build our capacity and our strength and the realities of our eternal life. That's the next phase for you. And I want you to take it seriously with all your heart. Every time you come before the communion table, one of the things people do whenever they approach the communion table is to decide. It is a place of decision. At the communion table, all other disciples decided that they'll follow Jesus. And that same communion table, Judas decided that he will leave. And he left. And Jesus said, go and do what you will do quickly. And he left. He left. He left. He was the only person that left. Go and do what you will do quickly. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't stand it. But every one of us that have accepted Jesus into our heart as our Lord and Savior, we have that connection with him. So whenever you come before the communion table, the Bible says, do not do it unworthily. That means you're doing with the consciousness that you know what he did for you. I know that he paid the price for me. I see it. I treasure it. And I'm willing to live in this reality. I know that he was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was laid upon him. I see it. And I receive my healing. I receive spiritual rejuvenation. Spiritual strength. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Everyone that is here tonight, as you have made that connection, Paul said, I have received of the Lord that which I give unto you, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. In the same night, he said, I have received of the Lord that which I deliver to you, that Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. Now, every time we come before a physical token of the communion, we're doing it in remembrance of Jesus. And that's why the most important thing about the communion is to remember his sacrifice. I remember all you've done for me. Your perfect sacrifice and victory. I remember all you've done for me. Oh my God, I worship you today. I worship you today. Lord, we remember all that you have done for us. And that's why we're giving thanks today. Lord, I thank you for this bread, your body broken for us. And I thank you for the wine. This is the token that we have brought today. We understand that you said we should do it in remembrance of you. The bread represents your body. The wine represents your blood. And as we take it, we understand that everything that the blood of Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, all that you have done for us, we are reminded of it today. And we live in this consciousness continuously. And if there is any sickness, disease, infirmity, the Bible says your body was broken today. The body that is right in my hand is broken, Lord. And as I break the body, the chastisements of our peace laid upon you. We activate our faith on that, so that everyone sick, emotionally, physically, spiritually, receive healing now. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' glorious, precious, and mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life-transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.com. ptccenter.org. God bless you.